Hey everybody, welcome back to the podcast. This is show number 76 of the Lensless Podcast. Andrew?
Yes, how are you? I'm still here.
You're still here. How does it feel to, you kind of had the show for a while. It was your thing.
I know, I felt empowered. I wasn't sure whether to let you back in. I was going to change the password.
Oh, you should have.
Lock you out and get a new co-captain.
Yeah, you could have, you and Joe Baker. Yeah. He was, thanks Joe for last week's show, or I guess week before last, right?
Yeah, we can't say last week's show at the moment. Yeah. Every time we're going every 2 weeks, then we need to say last show.
Recent show.
Recent show. Yeah, good Joe. It's, Joe's a lovely guy, and he's a proper sort of camera builder and tinkerer.
Yeah.
Did you see, Corey, did you see that self-developing camera? I don't know if you saw the picture he made. So it's a film cassette with like two spouts coming out of it. And there's a spout and they've got like rubber tubes coming out the top. They curl around to stop the light. And then there's a funnel to pour your developer in after you've made your picture. And there's an air release on the other side.
Yeah. So, did he do a couple versions of that, didn't he?
I think so,
I think I saw the first one.
Yeah.
It looked interesting. It looked like a tube bomb or something.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a urban terrorist.
I was going to say, does he also make bombs? So how have you been? Been shooting much? Traveling?
Well, it's been a while since I last spoke to you, hasn't it?
Yeah.
But for the last 2 weeks, I've been playing with my new SX70 Alpha 1 camera. And I've been playing with my new Horizon panoramic camera. And I'm getting ready to take my large format enlarger down to the south coast to have it cleaned and serviced. So I'm really excited to have a nice clean serviced De Vere enlarger so I can start printing again my 5x4 negatives.
Nice. I'd like to be able to print 5x4.
Yeah. How about you?
I've been good. I've been running around and doing all kinds of things and shooting and having fun. And make sure everybody get your shots in for Holga Week 2. I think they have to be in by the 8th, I think, November the 8th. So I've got some developing to do.
Yeah. Are you allowed to enter as you're a judge?
Not in the pinhole. I mean, I'm just going to put some pictures in for just a regular Holga, you know.
Yeah. I think there's a submission form, isn't there? A Holga Week submission form. I think not sure how you get that, but maybe go on to Holga Week's webpage or look him on Twitter or somewhere like that.
Mr. Holga on Instagram too.
So what about introducing our guest then, Mr. Cannon?
Yeah, I was just about to do that. Andrew. Just calm down, okay, buddy?
Sorry, I thought I was in charge still. I've got to know my place, haven't I? I should have
known
my place.
No, you can you go ahead and introduce him if you would like.
No, you do it. You must. Okay. It's been a month since you've been on the show, so you do it.
So this week's guest is someone that I've been following for a while. And I remember because he was one of the first person that I saw doing are you there, Andrew?
I am, yeah. I'm drinking tea. Sorry, that's probably what that noise was.
I know that noise said that we stopped recording, but we're still recording, so I'm just going to continue, I guess.
Yeah.
Marcus was one of the first pinhole photographers that I've seen that does underwater photography. I believe he was. Yes. Anyways, this week's guest is Marcus Kessler. Marcus, how are you?
Well, I'm fine. Thank you for having me here.
Yeah.
And it's really an honor for me to talk with you guys.
Thanks. The honor is all ours.
It certainly is. Yeah. Don't be too honored.
It's only Andrew.
Yeah. But I apologize. We've got to show 76 before we've had you on.
Apologize? What are you apologizing for, Andrew?
that we had to wait 76 episodes before we had him on.
Yeah, but he's here now, so. Yeah, but Marcus does underwater photography with pinhole photography and all kinds of craziness, so there's lots to talk about. So, Marcus, would you like to let everybody know a little bit about yourself and where you're located?
Well, I'm 43 years old, and I live in Germany. Heidelberg is like 1 hour south of Frankfurt. But like, probably like you noticed, a lot of my work is just, well, it's made on a global stage. I'm just traveling a lot to do pinhole photography. So a lot of work is not shot in Germany, but like, yeah, all over the place.
Cool. Wow.
And what route did you take to get to this stage, Marcus? What's your beginnings in photography? How did you get to where we are now?
My beginnings in photography are back in high school times, where I just started with photography and earning a little money with doing like photography for local newspapers. And then for a certain time, I just abandoned photography, and coming back to photography during studies, I did on a cultural university in Taipei. And after that, I did an apprenticeship in photography. The commercial photographer trained on 4x5 and 8x10 cameras.
Yeah.
And
Studio work?
Doing studio work and doing commercial work for large companies. And during that time, I planned to go to Cambodia to see like the temple ruins of Angkor Wat.
I'd love to go there.
Yeah, it's like I knew the place from National Geographic. I don't know. It's like I think every child sitting in the waiting room of a doctor reads like this National Geographic stuff. And there, yeah. Like my first impression on Angkor was like at one of those days being sick in a doctor's waiting room, and I saw like these incredible monuments in National Geographic, and I thought to myself, well, one day you will be there. And yeah, one day it happened. And awesome. That was like the days where my pinhole journey started.
Before carry on.
No, go.
I was going to say before you went to Angkor Wat, were you doing any pinhole photography, or was this just, you know, how did you suddenly decide to start shooting pinhole photography at this location?
Well, I was in preparing of the journey to Cambodia. I was thinking about how to capture these monuments that were built without any technical help in a adequate way. And I was thinking about how to reduce photography to the lowest technical level. And then I was like ending up with pinhole photography. And before leaving, I tried several weeks and months to use. But first, I built my own pinhole camera, and then I tried to use it, and I just trained myself how to use it to more or less see what I will capture with a camera all on 4x5.
So you started playing around making cameras, and that was on 4x5 film. Was that a wooden camera? Did you, because it's something you've got to take around the world with you, so I guess it was fairly robust.
Yeah, it was a wooden camera.
Yeah.
And film holders.
Yeah, like these traditional film holders you use with the regular camera.
Yeah.
And folks, you can see Marcus's work in several places, and we'll shout it out at the end, but his pictures from Angkor Wat, which is in Cambodia, you can see some or all of those at marcuskessler.de. And if you look in under current projects, I think, or it is in there. So sorry, carry on with your talk about your journey to Anchor. And so that was the beginning of your pinhole journey.
Yeah, of my pinhole journey, yeah. And then I was really, at the first, I was really, really surprised how good I got along with this, for me, new technique. And I just fell in love with pinhole photography, with the possibilities I have to use time for the exposure and, yeah, all the possibilities it offered me to capture the atmosphere of the place.
So this was fairly early on in your pinhole development, and it's when you look at the work you're doing now, it seems to me there's quite a sort of journey, really, as you're these are beautiful images, these ones from Angkor Wat, but very markedly different. Very markedly different from the kind of work you're doing now, which is a lot of architectural work, but it's a lot of isolating small elements, isn't it, and reducing things down to their bare structure and form.
Yeah, you're right. Like, those first images were more like documenting or picturing reality like it is.
Yeah.
And the newer work is more abstract work. It's a progress for me, I think. The first series were really showing reality, and then step by step I just left this documentary pinhole photography behind and went to a, for me, more philosophical stage of photography, where I just ask other questions. Like, sometimes you are talking about like the architectural images, where I just combine movement of the camera with the static of the architecture, and at the end it blurs, and so the whole image is a story of the in between movement and static or other architectural
elements. Go with it.
I take from a series called Shadows on Concrete. You mainly see concrete structures, shadows, and monochrome sky. So you can't.
Yeah, I'm looking at that now.
Where the images are taken. And this is, for me, very, very interesting. What happens if you can't determine a location anymore? So it could be home, but it also could be far away, because it could be everywhere. And this is where the philosophical thinking starts for me.
Yes.
Because everything gets like interchangeable. You always see the same image, but sometimes taken in Israel and another time taken in Madagascar or somewhere else on the planet, and you could show someone in Palestine an image from Israel and he would not recognize if it's home or, yeah, Israel. And so, and vice versa. And that's really, really, for me, it's interesting to see. I had like those images printed in Black and White magazine in the US at the same time while Minimal magazine in Tehran was printing the same images. And so for me, it worked completely out, just to show this, we are not as different as we think. And like, on a certain stage, everything is quite the same if you take out religion and cultural values. And at that point, it also gets a little bit political.
Well, the fact that you can show these images in the USA and Tehran or somewhere like that, or probably China or Havana, you've got countries with such different geopolitical stances and ideologies, and you know, there's nothing people can object to this. This is just a pure reduction of form and shape and design, and you know, you're looking at first glance, it's, you know, it's a picture of some stairs and shadow and light. But, you know, I think it's fascinating that you're talking about really much deeper things, aren't you, when it comes to, you know, what's common between people, what's common, and emphasizing the commonality and not the differences between people.
Yeah, that for me is very important, just to point that out, because like there are like different levels. Like on the first level, you have like the, let's say, yeah, like the optical, no, how to say it.
Well, you can look at the picture. You can look at the pictures at first glance. You think they're bold, they're dramatic. Folks, we're looking at Marcus's series called Shadows on Concrete. You can pick those up through the website. But at first glance, there's good composition, there's good tonality, shadows and bold. And you could at one level, you can just look at them like that, can't you? You know, and
yeah,
or
sure.
You can talk,
and that's like...
or you can dive. Sorry, go on.
So if you want, you can go one step further and like compare and do like the ask yourself like the philosophical questions. But like on the first level, it's, yeah, there's probably a beauty or something in the images, like a tranquility, or yeah, however you want to describe it. As like, yeah, as an entrance to the image.
And stairways as well, there's a quite a lot of stairways leading to,
yeah.
Well, you're not quite sure where they're leading to, are you?
The sky. The negative part of the sky.
Yeah, so you've written some, there's some text that accompanies these images, and so I'll read that read some of it. Anyway, the texture of the material concrete creates an interaction with light spaces that seem to be free of geographical determinants. So yeah. So where have these images popped up, Marcus? Which countries have these been in print in around the world?
They have been in print in Iran and in the US.
Yeah.
Cool.
So was it?
Shown, I don't know. They have been shown in Germany. They have been. I think they have been shown in Romania too. I'm not sure about that.
Is this a project that's still ongoing, or do you like to focus on a project like this and then move on to? Does it sort of inspire you into another direction? How do you move from one project to another?
Well, the thing is, I don't move. This is really, I have like I think 10 to 12 like of those long term projects going on because I never find an end. And this is really, that's one of my tasks in photography, to find an end of projects, because like until now, I don't have the feeling like this, like the Shadows on Concrete project is not finished yet, because there are still, I think, two continents missing. And for me, the series will be complete if I have like images from every continent, just to have a
complete project.
It's like, yeah, for me, it just makes sense not only to show, yeah, two or three continents, but go for the whole. But I don't have any timetable to fulfill, so it will be finished when it will be finished.
I think the market, the series that it seems to be markedly different is the one called In Between. Well, to me, I mean, it's not obviously like the other work you've done. What's the idea between In Between, Marcus?
Well, In Between is probably the most conceptual work I'm doing. And the idea of In Between is to show the space and the time between two places. As human beings, we only see the moment, and the human eye can't add moments, and photographical paper or photographical light sensitive material is able to collect and to add light. And all these abstracts you see at the in-between series are the whole journeys of of travels between two places on one piece of photographical paper. I start the exposure as a starting point and end the exposure at the destination.
Right.
And since every single moment is more or less a sharp concrete.
So hang on. So these look like photograms to me, but they're not, are they? I don't think they are. So this is an exposure is this in a pinhole camera, Marcus? And
it's a pinhole camera that exposes the whole journey between two places.
So you're physically moving the camera from on a journey and taking it with you. Are you exposing at different stages or continuously, as you're on? And what sort of length of journey are we talking about?
Well, I think the longest I have is between Bangkok and Frankfurt. That's about 9,000 kilometers.
Wow!
And about like 13 hours on one piece of paper, and they are directly exposed on paper.
And are you as you're taking your camera on this journey with you and capturing the in between places, are you thinking about where you're pointing your pinhole camera, or are you just randomly seeing what will happen? Is there thought behind it in terms of where you're exposing it, or are you just letting it happen?
I just let it happen.
Quite remarkable.
I'm going drinking a coffee, like in an airport, I just place it somewhere, and then like some structures are more prominent at the end. Or if I have to wait somewhere, I just put it down. I even let it through like the X-ray machines and everything. So everything, every light that meets the camera during the journey is collected and at the end creates the image or the structure.
Wow,
that's I suppose using paper, of course, it's giving you that time, isn't it? Because it's such a low, it's such a low sensitivity on the paper.
Are you going to?
Go on, Marcus. Carry on. Ignore Corey.
No, he wants to ask something.
Sorry, you ask your question, Corey. How about that?
No, I was going to say, you could do a seven continent caravan trip and take a picture of it, Andrew.
Now, don't you start on me. I've had a lot of support about my caravan trips.
I'm supporting it.
Yeah. So.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
You have this, Marcus, you have this. Certainly, as you've moved through from those early shots in Angkor Wat to this, very much focus on structure and form now, isn't it? And in the recent pictures that you've been posting on Instagram, you're moving away from. Well, it's interesting because you're moving away from landscapes and concrete and shadows, but these natural pictures of leaves actually look like concrete, don't they?
Well, some people say, it's like also landscape somehow, or just forms and structures given by nature. And for me, it's like now in autumn or fall, like all the leaves are laying around. And I also do some shots with like this shop window mannequins.
I like those. Yeah.
And in some of them, I combined them with leaves. And that was actually the link that led me to the leaves. It's like mostly it's like one project or one idea leads to another. Because then I'm just yeah, I have the material, and I'm thinking about what else can I do with it, and I'm just trying out. And
are you still are you using mainly 4x5 for its portability? I think you were shooting some 8x10 negatives as well at some point.
Yeah, it's like it's just the most easiest large format I can use. Like the very new stuff is made on paper negatives like 45 by 54 centimeters.
Mm-hmm.
And the original prints are made like as contact prints. But yeah, so it's going to be huge in the future.
Huge, huge. Definitely, it's a big print.
Earlier in the year, you were involved in the exhibition that sort of some of our former guests were on. So I think Kai Lewis, Jeff McConnell,
Lena
Kohlberg. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're the three. I think we've had those three on. There's some others who we haven't made contact with. So that was the you want to tell us a little bit about how you got involved in the Art of Pinhole Photography show, and I think that's repeated every few years, you were saying, but tell us a little bit about that and how you what those artists' work had in common, how they fitted into the show, that sort of thing.
Kai's in that show.
Cheers.
Kai Lewis. Yep.
Well, like the Art of Pinhole Photography was an idea that was born for a photography festival we have in the region here, like already 6 years ago. And like one of the venue places asked me if I have any idea what they could showcase. And since I'm working like with pinhole photography, I was thinking, hey, if I got the possibility to have a room during the time of one of the biggest photography festivals in Germany, then I would love to use it to promote pinhole photography. And like the first edition it was a success. It was really, really a lot of visitors coming, and then we just decided to do it another time. And we did it this year, 3 years ago, and now we have like this agreement that we do it like every 3 years. So the next one will be in 2022.
And is it a general open invitation, or do you ask people to submit? How does it work?
Well, it's like invitation based.
Yeah.
I do not do like this submission thing. No. But like if anybody wants to recommend someone to me or someone's work, I'm open for every suggestion of great work that has to be seen
by
a greater audience. And
yeah,
it's like if like one person or two person just organize an exhibition or something, they don't know everything what happened in. Even if it's in pinhole photography, you don't know everything. You don't see everything what people do. So I'm always glad about if people send me suggestions and ideas, what they're doing, what friends are doing.
I think there's a lot of folks doing things in isolation, aren't there? I think the internet is helping us get together, but there's still such a lot of great work being done which isn't getting any exposure. And if we can help bring some of these folks to recognition through our humble podcast, well, that's we're doing our bit.
Sure.
Yeah, that's Corey. Like,
can you hear me?
Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, that's like the small history of like the Art of Pinhole Photography. Nothing special, but I think it's also a great thing to get people together, just get the artists to know each other in person. Because, like, for the opening, like, Kai Luz was there, and, oh, yeah, because you mentioned her, and, like, Lena was there, and, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They all met, and that is, it's really cool to create, like, networks, like, real networks, not only on social media, but, yeah, to have people meet in reality.
Yeah, it's really good. I met Kai for the first time a few weeks ago in London. We met up on a Lomography photo walk, and I'm catching up with her again in a few weeks' time for an instant photo meetup in London. Yeah.
Was that Lomography walk? That was all instant stuff, wasn't it?
No, people had everything from panoramic cameras to SLRs to pinholes. I don't think there was anybody shooting instant film at all. It was mainly, there was an RB67, someone had one of those. Someone had there was certainly an LCA wide on display. There was film being given away, so I got a roll of that Lomo Berlin film that they're, which I've not shot yet. But cool. So kind of linked to what Marcus was saying, folks, at the moment, until this is kind of news from the Facebook group, really, just jumping in here, until Tuesday, the 5th of November, so this couple of days, if you're listening to this straight away when we post this podcast, Kai Luz is showing some pictures along with others in London at the Clifford Thames Gallery, and it's the 2019 International Pinhole Exhibition.
Nice.
And I know a former guest who was on, Julie Tassander, she's been over and she met up with Kai. And I was hoping to get to the show, but we've just been far too busy. It's great to, you know, for Kai's been showing her new work, which she's been photographing on Dungeness Beach down on the south coast of England, Corrie, with a, I think it's her 4x5 camera. And the negatives, kind of, I think it's X-ray film, you know, she's making prints, but the prints have some really weird colours on them, which I think is due to, you know, the way she's processing them and maybe adding things to it. But it's they look great.
Yeah.
You can see those.
Yeah. So, Marcus, how did you, what got you into doing pinhole photography in the water? And you don't have a lot of them, but you got a little bit, so... Are you developing the paper in your camera with the water, exposing the camera and letting it fill up with water? Like, who was it? I forgot now. Gosh, it wasn't Andrew.
Yeah, I know. A previous guest.
Well, actually, I don't fill the body with water. I use weights, like iron weights and tripods, to place the camera underwater.
Huh.
And yeah, how I got to do like underwater pinhole photography, it's also kind of strange or weird story. It's to create a balance to another project. I was doing a project in former German concentration camps in the gas chambers. And this project is really emotional, or how to say, yeah, you can't do that for a long time. And if you work like a longer time in like these former gas chambers, you need something to balance you out. And that's how I started to try out underwater photography, just to get myself leveled. And at the beginning, I didn't expect that it works the way it worked. And I never intended to do a project out of these underwater images. But then as I saw what's possible to do underwater, I went on and I just tried to find the best solutions to like large format underwater. So but that was in the beginning, it was not the intention to do a project on that. It was just to distort my mind.
Is the camera in a housing, Marcus? Is that
the housing itself hosts the hole.
Okay.
So, but the film holder is the same film holder that I use, like with the other camera. It's just interchangeable.
Well, the other images that are catching my eye, Marcus, I wonder if you'd like to perhaps expand on them. So you'd already mentioned the series you're working on with the mannequins, and I think these are some of the most striking ones. Are these mannequins that you have in your possession, if that's not too weird, or are these ones that are these your friends in your house? Like a little army of, yes.
Well, actually, they belong to friends, and I just borrow them for shooting. And the idea of that series is like to get like artificial light together with natural light. Because like the mannequins are photographed in the studio, and like the architecture is like on location photography, and I really like to combine those two different forms of light and different forms of location in one single image.
There's one on your Instagram page with two mannequins facing each other. And it looks like you're in some kind of vault. I'm not sure what it is. It's lots of concrete rectangles with little holes in, and then you've got this shaft of light coming in from the top and cutting across. It is very, very powerful. Check out the mannequin shots, folks. You were also, I was looking at one of your other series of architectural shots, Marcus. And you were, I love the way you give some words of explanation, because for me, it really adds something. I mean, folks can and look at them just on face value, or you can put your own interpretations on it. But I love reading what the artist is trying to put across. And, you may be that you get it or you don't, or maybe you put your own interpretation on. But there's a series that you're exploring with buildings, Marcus, where you're introducing some movement in the camera, and you're talking about the buildings don't move, but you've sort of introduced some element of time, haven't you, by shifting the pinhole camera slightly.
Yeah,
this is like it's like handhold images, and I moved the camera during the whole exposure time just to put movement and static together. And with this, the buildings are reduced to their main architectural form through the movement.
Yeah, because the blurring, this series is called Shapes of Structure. That's the one I was looking at. So what you're getting, it's almost like they're diffused images. Sometimes in the darkroom, I've played around with laying tissue paper over prints, and you get this kind. You get something similar to this,
What is it called? Which one is it?
Yeah,
what series
it's in.
About?
It's on Marcus's website, and it's under Current Projects, and it's called Shapes of Structure.
Oh, okay, I got you.
Yeah, I didn't realize they were handheld, though, Marcus. Yeah, so they do get into the diffuse. So You lose
but
detail,
actually, and it doesn't matter how it's made.
No, I know.
No.
But we're always interested.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We like to find everybody's secrets.
No, the ideas behind them is just that's why I love to see the writing that you've got on here. You know, this is great. Long exposure times create a space of silence and tranquility in an ever more fast-moving environment. Yeah. Do you make your living through photography, or do you have a day job? You said you travel a lot.
No, I do my living on photography.
Awesome. And is that through, presumably, is that like commercial photography, or is this, you know?
It's mainly pinhole photography.
Is it? Well, okay.
Yeah.
That's great. I'm jealous, Marcus. Well,
I just do, like, on the one hand, I do, like, pinhole photography, and on the other side, I do, like, some kind of, like, jazz portraits, like, but it's not pinhole, like, portrait of musicians on stage, of, like, opera singers, and, yeah, stage photography.
I've seen those, and I was going to talk to you about them. Now I can't find where I saw them. Now, are they on your website? Oh no, that's pinholes, isn't it? Where do we see your jazz pictures? I saw them earlier, but now I can't see them.
Yeah, but actually,
them.
I think the link is not working right now.
Ah, but I saw them earlier when I was doing some research, and they're great. Are you traveling around the world doing jazz pictures as well, Marcus?
Yeah, I do like. Well, not everywhere. I do like jazz for a festival in Romania and like all around Germany, but like not like far distance travels for the jazz thing.
Mm-hmm. That's great stuff. So you're drawn to a couple of quotes. Edward Steichen, no photographer is as good as the simplest camera. Using the most simple camera, I try my best. Mm. Well, you do pretty well, Marcus. I like your style.
Thanks a lot.
I like your style, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like these. Yes, Andrew?
No, it's fine. You carry on. You like what?
No, I was going to say the 4x5s of the Crossing Cities series that you have, that you're doing. Also, I like I like multiple exposures. I need to get back into doing them more. I used to do them a lot. So, yeah, I'm just looking at these has got me.
Crossing Cities.
Yeah. Got my brain clicking again.
You just turn them and watch them upside down. They don't have it. They don't have a direction anymore because, like, the exposure, well, the film is turned between the two exposures, so...
Sure. That's all right.
But this is, are these different cities from different countries where you're doing double exposures?
Yeah. It's, like, always with the same letter at the beginning. I use, like, the alliteration as a conceptual... backbone of the project to it's like at the end it will be like 52 cities in 52 countries creating 26 images, the whole thing. But it all started with a project I did like between Germany and Romania, and for instance like Berlin and Bucharest were like the two capitals, and then I had like the BB and yeah, it was like a small step going from BB to like the conceptual idea to do like the whole alphabet.
There you go. That's a good idea.
It fits in quite nicely, doesn't it, with your in-between project as well. So you're going from one city to another. And you could almost show these in the same on the same page, couldn't you? Say, well, you know, these are linking the two cities, and this is the journey that somehow recording the time in between getting to these two cities.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, I think for me, like all these series also have like the idea of what happens if light of different places work on the same image. Just is putting it doesn't has any impact on the optical stage. But it's like, if you go on the philosophical stage of an image, it's quite a difference to use light from, yeah, different places to create something together. And I love the idea like this together.
I've never really thought about it like that. But also, you know, going back to your work with the structures, the shadow and the light on the stairs, it's sort of the ones that cross that can be shown equally in America and the ones that can be shown equally in Iran. If you just take the idea of light itself, you know, light itself is one of those things that has, you know, no matter what your what race, religion, what political state you live under, you know, whether it's a totalitarian state, that light is behaving constantly in the same way, isn't it, wherever you are in the world?
Yeah. This, I have another series that's not in the internet, I think, where I just take images of clouds on the places where I am, because like looking up at a cloudy sky is one of the few views that every person on Earth can like share. And
yeah. You can, we like a bit of silence. Corey can always edit it out. So what are the leaves, Marcus, the direction you're sort of concentrating on at the moment? Are you going to be taking that further, your leaf images?
Well, I will go on with the leaf to combine them with the leaves with the mannequins and the mannequin series.
Yeah, that'd be good.
All sparking off each other.
Of those. And
are you printing? Are you printing in dark rooms? Are you printing in dark room, Marcus? Or you
have a dark room? Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, fantastic. I have my own dark room, and
yeah.
No, but for now, like the main idea is to create like this huge 54 by 45 centimeters paper negative with like these mannequins with the leaves together and do like the contact print thing. This is like one of the major things I'm working on with the leaves right now.
Cool.
Because do you find the
connection between leaves and contact? Because like a paper in German, like both leaf is Blatt. And like it's the same, the sheet of paper in German also is Blatt. And so in German language, we have this connection that a leaf and a sheet of paper is the same word.
Yeah.
And so a paper negative of a leaf, it's like in German language, it fits better. It fits perfectly together.
Well, in English as well, it's a page of paper. It would be called a leaf, isn't it? Like a leaf of a book or, you know. Yeah, so I guess it's similar.
Same, yeah.
Mhm. Brilliant. Corey, what news have you got for us? Any news from the week?
Nope. Was I supposed to have news?
Don't know. Just thought you might do.
Oh, other than Ilford came out with some new film that I want to try. That. The ortho, I can't remember, which one was it? You ordered
Ilford, it's Ilford Ortho film. Yeah. Do you play around with it? Are you using mainly conventional negatives, Marcus, or are you playing around with any X-ray film or any ortho film? You know, the stuff that's not sensitive to red.
The last project I did on the cities in Germany was made on X-ray film.
There you go.
You see those on the Instagram, like these double exposures of the city, where you see like a lot of like script on it or brand names and things.
Are these the ones where there's lots of reflections as well? Are these the ones?
Yeah. like the special thing about those, they don't really work on a two-dimensional way, because like this is X-ray film is coated from both sides with light sensitive material, and I built the camera where I can expose the film from the front and from the back at the same.
Oh really?
The same. And though and those are made like exposures from the front and from the back.
Oh wow. Like, okay.
City centers and like
there you go, Andrew.
The project I'm using X-ray urbanism. Film. Sorry, carry on.
And it's about the, well, like in Germany, like all the huge city centers looks quite the same because you all have the same chain stores everywhere. And that's like the main idea, like reflections and double exposure. So that you don't really know what is from the reflection and what from the double exposure from the front and from the back side.
Right. That's a good idea. I never thought about taking the film out and flipping it over with that, because it has emotion on both sides.
Well, I mean,
but someone told me that, I have problems to wash the second emulsion side away from the X-ray film. And I say, hey, what? There are two emulsion sides. That's great. I can use it. And that's how projects start.
Huh. I mean, I don't even worry about it, Marcus. I just put the double-sided X-ray film in a dark slide, and I just expose it like I would regular film. And you know, the images, you know, there doesn't seem to be any great issue. The fact it's got an emulsion on both sides doesn't seem to make much difference. Apart from it's a bit more difficult to avoid scratches and marks. That's all, really.
Yeah.
But some X-ray film, Marcus, has emulsion just on one side. But if you're using that Fuji material, then that's got emulsion on both sides. But you're doing some great. I think what it is, we've had lots of guests who've worked in series and projects and things, but I don't think we've had anyone who's thinking it. I don't think so anyway. It's got quite the same coming at it from a very philosophical and thoughtful angle that you do, Marcus. And it's, I found our conversation very, very inspiring. And I just wish I had a philosophical mind. What did you study in high school, Marcus? Did you study the arts, or did you study philosophy?
No, I studied sinology, but it's Chinese culture and language.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But I had the luck to study in Taipei on a cultural university.
Okay.
I got like a scholarship to stay like a time in a cultural university in Taipei, and I think that had like, well, that had an impact on me and on my work and on my thinking and
Yes, I think every, you know, the major things in our lives have to come back and influence what we do creatively. I mean, it's, you know, it's, I don't think you can escape it. So I thought there must have been something in your background that's, you know, drawing you to these projects and these thoughts, and it's great. You need to publish some of this stuff if you haven't already. I know you did put some pictures in your early work, Marcus. But have you produced books, or are you going to?
Well, I'm currently negotiating with some publishers about doing a book for next April.
Uh-huh.
And so I hope
we'll see.
It will be realized. But it's
nice.
Thinking about doing a crowdfunding or something like that later on. But first of all, be made because it's like, even with the big publishers, they ask for a certain amount of money to publish with them, and yeah.
I think crowdfunding of the... Were you involved in the FD Pinhole project a few years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought I'd seen your name associated with that.
Which one?
It was a Kickstarter, wasn't it, Marcus? FD
Pinhole, yeah. From... I think they also have, like... Well, they had a blog or something, the FD Pinhole blog.
Oh, yeah. I was in that book, too.
Were you?
Yeah. I had a picture in that book.
I think crowdfunding's probably the way forward, Marcus, and you can drum up interest through the Lensless Podcast Facebook
Anytime.
Group. Anytime.
I haven't been there forever. Do we still have a Facebook group?
We do, and it's growing nicely. Your absence is noted.
I know. I'm sorry.
I don't know how many members. I've just posted welcoming 7 or 8 new members. We're getting close to 800 members now, so that's not too bad, is it? And it's a lot of people are interacting. A lot of people are posting some really great, really great one-off images. And nice. I noticed that our friend Lorraine Healy is playing around with her Harman Titan camera with color film. Oh. And she's scanning that using her Epson B600, so she's doing it in halves, you know, and stitching it.
Yeah, stitching it together.
Stitching it together.
That's a good camera to carry around, though. If you had to carry a 4x5, I mean, you wouldn't even notice that you had it in your bag.
No, I think it's because it's very, very light.
Yeah, film holders are way more than the camera do, for sure.
Yeah, they do. Do you have any commercial pinhole cameras, Marcus, or are you just making your own? I say just.
No, I make my own cameras for every project. I just, create my own camera.
Do you find that becomes almost part of the project, creating a camera for a specific project?
Yeah, for me, it probably is, yeah.
I wish I had time to... make more cameras,
well, there's a lot of folks doing some really interesting work, and we just see a little bit of it in the Facebook group. But there's lots more going on out there, and if I'm feeling a little bit uninspired, I like to go through the Facebook group and read what people are up to, and people are really excited about the potential of Pinhole, you know. Marcus has just taken the potential of Pinhole when its ability to capture time and to be able to express ideas, and he's taking it to a new level. So we salute you, Marcus. That's what we do.
Yep, we are saluting you right now.
I just try my best, you know. I just walk around and try to do my best with the pinhole photography. For me, it's just a tool to express myself. Right. Other people use other tools, musical instruments to express themselves, and it's just a form of.
I think
how to express your
idea. I know Corey has said many, many times. You know, it's a hobby. Pinhole photography, lensless photography, is a hobby on so many different levels, and as a lot of folk get a great deal of pleasure from building the cameras and just maybe playing with them for a little while, then building another camera. A lot of people just love taking random pictures of things, and then there's folks who are putting really lovely bodies of work together, like Kai Lewis is doing, like you're doing, like Michael Weitzman is doing. And, you know, whatever you're doing, you know, with pinhole photography, guys, just enjoy it and have some fun. And I just constantly take inspiration from the people we have on here, and the people in the Facebook group, from the very, very simple to the very thought provoking, like Marcus today.
Take it seriously or don't, whatever you want to do, you know.
Kai Lewis just on another sort of news from the Facebook group. Kai Lewis was doing a workshop. I think it was just this weekend. couldn't quite work it out. It seems to be sponsored by Vans, you know, the shoe company.
Yeah.
So, because she said to me, you can take your caravan and Vans to the van or something. It was some kind of joke, you know. So she's yeah, Festival of Photography. Oh, she's just got back from the Festival of Photography. Mm-hmm. And she was doing some, I think this was her work. She did a workshop, I think, at this exhibition, this Clifford Thames Gallery exhibition. I think she did a workshop at the weekend.
Cool.
We have a new, one of our several new members has posted Corey into the Facebook group. I don't know if you saw it, Sam Ward. He posted on Saturday, he's making his first pinhole camera.
Wow.
And Sandeha Lynch has been very helpful in giving him some hints and tips and sharing some beautiful cameras that we know Sandeha makes.
Mm-hmm.
But Sam was asking about hardware to hold the film spools in place. So he's looking at using medium format film spools.
Yeah.
And he was looking at, and I think Sandeha gave him a few tips, and also winding knobs as well. I was going to share. So, well, look at some of the cameras you can buy, like the Reality. I'm just reaching across the Reality. So subtle camera they use, like, I want to say they're like knobs for guitar tuners or something. That's what they look like.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
For the volume knobs.
Yeah. So you can use those.
Yeah. You could take some wood and carve yourself a few if you know, doesn't have to be anything fancy, just as long as it can turn, you know.
Carving wood sounds pretty fancy to me, Corey.
It doesn't have to be. Just go get a branch outside and cut it to the thickness, the diameter that you want, you know, and then just kind of drill a hole in it and put some epoxy in it and take a tongue depressor and break it off or something. All you have to have is just something that can grab that spool and turn it, you know.
Yep. Okay.
Well, Marcus, if you want to let everybody know where they can find you at and check out your photography, you can let them do it.
Well, I think the easiest way is to go to my Instagram page to see the most recent work. Will you link it?
We'll put it at
Instagram. This is the easiest way. Or follow me on Facebook.
We'll put a link into the show notes, and then after, when we as we start to share the post around the internet, we'll just make sure that folks know where to find you if they don't already. Really, to be truthful,
your life is going to change in just a few minutes, Marcus.
Yeah, you're gonna be world famous, but I would also recommend folks check out Marcus's website, marcuskessler.de, because there you're looking at some of the projects we've been talking about, and some of the thoughts and ideas behind the groups of images, which is just fascinating, as I've said a few times now. It is
definitely inspiring. So if you need a daily shot of Sunday inspiration, it's a good place to go.
And Marcus, have you got I mean, for us, as we search for future guests, who would you let's feed off each other, who would you point us to if we maybe someone who's inspired you who we haven't had on the show?
Well, actually, I don't know who was talking with you.
So, you mean you've not listened avidly to every single episode and memorized them all?
No, I admit that. Have you talked to Niels Carlson?
Nope, don't think so.
Nope.
Oh, so he was one of the photographers in the exhibition earlier in the year, wasn't he, Niels?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We'll track him down.
Great color work and pinhole photography.
Niels Carlson?
Black and white. Yeah. He's doing also a lot of color work and
We have a master guest list that we're working on, don't we, Corey? Well, I seem to be working on it. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, we've had.
You're doing an amazing job too.
I'm doing a fantastic job. I know.
Absolutely amazing job.
Yeah. So we'll track some. I think we'll try and track some more of these folks down off the who exhibited in April at the Art of Pinhole Photography.
Yep. Lena and Kai and Jeff, I've already talked to them.
Well, we must speak. I don't know if I'm going to pronounce this properly, but there's Inga Dinga, just because it sounds so great. But I'm maybe pronouncing it. Marcus, am I pronouncing that incorrectly? But it does seem to rhyme, doesn't it? Inga, Ingadinga.
Yeah. You know her work? Yeah, you know, no, you probably know.
I probably do, but I can't. I'm just intrigued by the name because it's just a great name, isn't it?
She is in most of the pinhole groups on Facebook.
Yeah, and that's where I've come across her, I think.
It's an artist name. She's from Lithuania. And Lithuania, last names are more or less unpronounceable
for
non-Lithuania. And so...
Yeah,
she uses Inga Dinga for photographers.
Brilliant,
excellent.
Yeah, but
that's great.
Talk to her; she's great. Yeah,
yeah, we will. We're
coming for you, Inga Dinga.
Yeah, we're working through the list. Yeah,
all right.
Have we got any coffee donations or any thanks to make?
I'm sure we do, but I have to go back and check in the email. So we'll definitely. Mm-hmm. Do that next show. I gotta get caught up on all of it.
Yeah, we've got Kai Lewis coming back on the show. I don't think we've managed to firmly fix a date for her, but she may well pop up during November. We'll
have
to see.
Sounds good.
Catch up, because she's been a busy girl, so we can we can chat with what she's been up to.
Cool. Alrighty. Well, Marcus, thanks for coming and hanging out with us and talking. We really appreciate it.
Thanks to you for having me here.
And thank you for forcing us to try Skype for the first time.
We'll see how it goes.
Sorry for that.
That's okay.
That's okay.
No worries.
It's fine. Marcus, alrighty. Thank you. Thank you so much. And I'm glad you've enjoyed yourself anyway. Yep. We've certainly enjoyed having you.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
And we'll talk to everybody soon. Okay.
We will. Bye, everybody.
Okay. Bye. Bye.